Nothing like wishing death on people for being loud, right?
Of course. The usual American thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so you were all hyper to get to podcast today. So
pretty pumped up to podcast.
You said you had a bunch of stuff you wanted to say.
I was saving it all day to talk to you about it. So I think we mentioned it a couple podcasts ago. We were talking about the series Waco, and you were telling me to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And so I finished it up. And when I finished it last night, I was sad and fucking angry.
Yes, let the libertarian flow through you.
Pretty mad at the government, gotta say. It was an excellent show.
They did a really good job.
Excellent show.
I thought Taylor Kitsch as David Koresh was unbelievably good.
He did really good. Yeah. He did a really good Koresh, yeah. When you watch, like, the side-by-sides, like, you watch the tapes of
them. It's like, holy shit.
Like, it's like mirrored.
You
like,
can't even tell the difference.
Like, the big events in that show are pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
You know.
I might rewatch that.
Yeah. No one knows exactly what happened inside, you know, everything.
Oh, yeah.
There's pretty good account. I mean, Thibodeau has pretty good accounts, and there's...
Thibodeau was there. He was inside.
You know, he knows pretty much all of what happened. And they did include a lot of his accounts in the show.
Yeah.
You know? And he's, like, the most outspoken person about this. Most of the people that got out are kids, so they, you know, they don't really have a good opinion on anything. They were just kind of doing what they were told at that time. There was one girl I watched an interview with, Asian girl. I think, I forget how old she was when she was in there. She was old enough to comprehend everything, but didn't really understand it. But she wasn't worried, she said, when the ATF and the FBI were there. Because she was like, that's what David said was going to happen, which is really freaky. Like, they're like, yeah, we kind of expected this to happen.
And the armies of Babylon will bring war to our homes or whatever it is.
Wow. Freaking nuts. But yeah, both her parents died.
That's fucked.
That's fucked. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. If you don't know what we're talking about and you want to watch the show and come back, go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Because we're going to review the show for a little while.
Yeah.
And talk about that.
Really, really good. It's a mini series. It's just 6-hour-long episodes. Mm-hmm. And it shows what happened in Waco, Texas in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
When the government killed a bunch of people.
Yeah.
A bunch of Americans for... God, it pisses me off. What do you think of Koresh?
I think that he's like, how do I say this? He's a very interesting person to learn about, you know what I mean? Freaking, he's definitely extremely manipulative.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Do you think he was a voice of, not a voice of God, but a prophet?
No, I don't think so. I think he's just I think he's a very good preacher, obviously. He got that many people to follow him.
Yeah.
Start that thing in the desert. And,
they're still there.
Yeah. Something really that they didn't really touch on the show is he had people from all over the world there.
Yeah.
And there were different times during the year where people would come and just hear his, like, Sermon of the Seven Seals and stuff like that. But he had people from, London, people from Australia, where else did they say? A few other different countries. Obviously, people from Hawaii, they touch on that in the show.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that both Steve, what's his name? The second in command there, Steve...
Schneider.
Schneider, and I think that guy Wayne was also from Hawaii. And his wife made it out.
In real life?
Yeah. She's still alive.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wait, whose wife?
The black guy.
Oh, okay.
The guy that was like...
I thought you were saying Koresh. I was like, I mean, they were all his wives.
No. Not Koresh's wives. None of Koresh's wives made it out, I don't think. None of the ones he had kids with, anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Um, But as far as the show goes, it's pretty spot on, because the main input for the show came from Gary Noyzer.
I think that's Nesner.
Nesner. And Dave Thibodeau, which are, were both there the whole time when this was happening.
And on opposite sides.
And on opposite sides, yeah. Gary wouldn't say that, though. He'd be like, I was trying to work with him the whole time. He was like, I was on the
side. Oh, I don't mean like that. I just mean that, like, you have someone who's outside with the FBI, and you have someone who's inside with the Branch Davidians.
Mm-hmm. There was another big character that wasn't really mentioned much in the show, not that I remember anyway, was, I think I say his name is Clive Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the current leader of the Branch Davidians right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he was there?
He was there.
Oh, shit.
And he's like 70 or 80 now, I think. I forget. But I think a big reason he's not in there, I think Thibodeau doesn't like him. So he's not included in a bunch of his stuff. But Thibodeau still goes back to that place when they have like a reunion every year or something like that. I guess he didn't for a long time because he doesn't like that guy. I could be wrong about that, but
I was going to say, they're still there. The Branch Davidians have, have a compound. They have
hundreds of people came out there to help them rebuild the compound. It's pretty much the same as it was.
It's in a different spot, though.
Yeah.
It's same, like, it's in the same area. It's literally, it's up the street from where the original one was. Mm-hmm. I believe. I'm pretty sure, because I've been there.
Yeah, some guy.
I went out there.
Some guy bought the land, I think. Some other person.
The remnants of the vault are still there.
That's fucked. Oh man, you imagine seeing that? That must be some ominous stuff right there. So what I was hearing about the vault was Thibodeau said he didn't know that the women and children were in the vault. He thought they went to the underground bus so they could have an escape.
Mm-hmm.
But he had no say in the matter.
He's just a guy.
He was saying, like, he said that he was like, I didn't even know I was part of the Branch of Indians. I was just there learning what David had to say. He was like, I was living there for a while, but I wasn't really, like, in with their cult. He's not called a cult, you know. It's not really a cult at all. But... he was saying, though...
You ever realize that cult is a wicked, like, derogatory term?
It is. Like, you could pin it on anything.
Yeah. Like, you can say that about...
Because I wouldn't say they're a cult. I just heard that so much now that I'm repeating it. But yeah, you can say that about anything. You're right.
I'm stealing this stray from Rogan, but, like... Or I think it was Rogan. I don't know where I heard this. I mean, wouldn't you say that Jesus was a cult leader?
A lot of people would, right?
He had a small group of people who were completely and utterly devoted to him and thought he was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, by definition, I guess you could say that, but it's like, because it's derogatory, people would definitely, I mean, I'd take offense to that, you know? But he was saying that he actually was, had that fake marriage to Michelle.
Yeah.
That's true. And he was, I don't know, he doesn't, in his interviews, he mentioned Michelle once. So either he's like really, really touchy about it and like doesn't want to talk about it. And he actually, he said he was close to her, which is what I kind of suspect. He's kind of like very soft on that topic. But he mentioned Serenity too, which is the little girl.
Yeah.
And he said when the first explosion happened, when the fire started, he immediately in his head, just like Serenity, and just fucking, he just bolted to go try and get them. And he was going for the bus. He was going for the wrong spot.
Right.
But he had to go upstairs. And then he said, like in the show, that massive fireball blew him out of the hallway and he couldn't get away there. And then he was kind of like, I need to fucking,
he actually dive out the window.
I don't think he dived out a window. I think he just climbed out a window. That was more dramatic.
Oh, okay.
He said, I forget if this was in the show, that after that, he ran back down, and I think he was sitting there for a while well, this happened. It was him and like five or six other people, and they're all sitting there. The guy, what's his name? Something Martin, the black guy.
Yeah.
He was sitting there, and at one point, Thibodeau took off his mask because he wanted to feel what the tear gas felt like. And he was like, yeah, it was awful. He was like, I immediately started sweating and pins and needles all over my face.
Yeah, CS gas sucks.
He was like, at one point, that guy just kind of realized there was no hope. Oh, this is when a lot of people started giving up. Like, a lot of people just took off their mask at this point. They heard over the radio, they were listening to the radio with their mask on. They heard over the radio that the FBI was reporting that they were shooting at them, and no one in there had fired a shot. Yeah. Nobody.
According to Thibodeau.
According to Thibodeau, nobody right. fired a shot. I mean, somebody could have, and he didn't even know. There was probably a shit ton of noise.
Yeah.
I assume nobody fired a shot. He was with the majority of the men
yeah.
in the groups, yeah. and all the other women and children were, like, in a bunker, pretty yeah. much. He said that guy just took off his mask and leaned against the wall and just sat down and disappeared into the smoke, and he never saw him again. Jesus. I was like, holy crap. And he was saying there was an older guy, and he was like, I'm going outside. And Thibodeau said, he was like, they'll probably shoot you as soon as you go outside. And I don't think that guy made it out. And I think Thibodeau kind of feels bad about that, but he said he was the closest to the window anyway. So when all of them actually decided to go out, when shit started, like, collapsing on them and stuff, he said a bunch of them just crawled through the same window and went out the front. And it wasn't immediate, like, when he dives out the window and two agents come up to him and immediately cuff him on the mm-hmm. ground. He said they walked all the way up the driveway with their hands up, and then they cuffed him. He said they made everybody get naked right in front of them and put orange jumpsuits on right away. And they led them onto a bus to prison. I was like, that's fucked. And I was like, what the hell? It's like, Jesus. God damn it. But yeah, he had a pretty fucked up account of all the shit that happened.
You went all in on this, huh?
I went deep on this. I watched, there's a 12-part interview with him on YouTube. Anybody can look it up. It's great. It's fucking
awesome. Does he look like the actor?
He's old now. He's 48.
Right, right.
He did when he was younger.
Okay.
He's fat now. He's big.
Big guy.
Yeah. He's a big dude. I mean, life's been freaking hard on him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has some severe trauma.
I don't blame him if he ate himself into happiness a little bit.
Do you do any research on the current Branch Davidians?
Not really. I don't know how many members they have. I know that guy,
I think Clive, they have 1,000.
They have 1,000? Yeah. I bet you their numbers went up because of that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm willing to bet.
Not that it was a good thing to
happen. Yeah, fuck it. Jesus.
But he said he didn't go back for a long time at one point. He lives in Maine.
Really?
Yeah. He lives in Maine. He's from Maine. They didn't mention that in the show. So a little... The only stuff that's, like, a little different than real life in the show is that Koresh didn't find Thibodeau. And all the timeline's a little screwy. You don't actually get a good sense of the timeline in the show. Thibodeau was in Los Angeles when Koresh got him. He went out to Los Angeles, and Steve Schneider was with him. And Steve actually talked to him first. And then he talked to Koresh, and they gave him their band card. And they actually... He was playing with them in Los Angeles for a while. I don't know, a few months out there. And then Koresh was like, we're going back. You want to come with us? And he ended up going back. Pretty similar, like, way he did.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But that was 2 years before this all happened. So he was there for a while. It doesn't really seem like that in the show, does it?
And the show is only like 6 months.
Yeah, it doesn't give a good, doesn't give a great timeline of how long he was there. But yeah, he was there for 2 years. He didn't mention exactly when they staged that marriage with Michelle, but he did say he was close with her.
Mm-hmm.
Gary was not at Ruby Ridge.
Right, you imagine that's a name.
He wasn't there.
That's Nesner.
Gary Nesner, yeah. He was the head negotiator. But yeah. They didn't. A lot of stuff they couldn't include. I'm sure Gary was part of this because Gary stayed in the FBI for another 10 years after that.
Yeah, he was a career.
He was a career FBI guy. And he was very disappointed in that, but he's never like. I think he might have came after a few a few of the agents that were involved. He was saying at one point that he saw two of the helicopter guys that were there, and when he was on site at Waco, and they were kind of boasting about how they were flying low to the building to scare people and stuff like that, and they're laughing about it. And he came up to me, he was like, "We don't do that. We're professionals. Cut the shit." He was wicked mad about it, and. You can tell by him talking about it. He never sounds mad. But
yeah.
He's just calm, cool, and collective all the time. The really fucked up thing is... Thibodeau, afterwards, for a long time, he went around and he gave speeches at anywhere that would listen to him. And he said, because that all happened under the Clinton administration, no liberal media would talk to him about it at all.
Sounds about right.
None of them would talk to him about it at all. And he was a little fucked up by that because he thought they
were... Not to mention, think about what they are.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that they aren't, like, super evangelical conservative Christians? Do you think David Koresh voted for Clinton?
Probably not.
That's if they voted at all. Who knows, but...
Yeah. Stuff that they didn't include in the show about Koresh, too. He got... The guy who, I forget the name they give him in the show, but in real life, the Hispanic guy is something Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And he did try and convert him and bring him in there. Differences in the show, though, like, he knew that there were four guys in there, and they did see them all.
Koresh knew that there were.
Yeah. They weren't just interacting with them. They were interacting with all of them. I think... Rodriguez was the only one that actually came in the compound. A week before this all happened, I think it was all of them where they had a shooting range at their place, and they were all
the Davidians.
Yeah,
had a shooting range. Yeah,
and they were all shooting with Koresh. Like, and like he Rodriguez handed Koresh his pistol, and he was shooting it, and he was like, "Oh, that's nice, I like it." And he handed it back to him, Thibodeau tried to justify a little bit about why they had so many guns.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is just because it's Texas. And they picked up the... Like, a lot of people just have guns in Texas. And they like to go shooting. Like, it's an event. And they said that him and the gun dealer... I don't think they really showed in the show too much.
They showed him at all.
But Koresh got really close with him. And there were certain guns that were going to be made illegal or come off the market or something like that, or different ammunition that was coming off the market. And Koresh was buying those up at gun shows because their market value was going to go way up.
Right.
And he was going to sell all the stuff. Not all of it. I mean, I'm sure he always wanted to have guns. He likes to shoot.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the show where he takes apart the agent's pistol. And in real life, I don't think he would have been mad that he came in with a gun. I don't think he really would have cared.
Right.
Because he came in and was showing him his AR-15 in real life. Koresh looked at it, and Koresh was like a gun guy.
Yeah.
I guess he took it apart in like a minute and was looking at it and examining everything. He was like... And he looked at it, he was like, "Oh, the trigger shaved off." He was like it scared the guy. He was like, "This is an illegal weapon." He was like, "You better get that fixed." And it scared the shit out of Rodriguez. He was like, "Fuck, he knows." Rodriguez was in there when the male guy came back. that's true. He was actually in there, and then he came out. And he actually filed grievances against ATF because they tried to pin things on him and stuff like that. And they settled in court. The big thing that came up at the end of all of it is how the fire started.
Yeah.
Because they say it was a suicide. They started the fire to kill themselves.
Yeah, the government says they killed themselves.
So while Thibodeau was going around giving all his talks at wherever he was, someone contacted him who was making a documentary on it. And I guess they had a plane flying like 2 miles overhead or something like that. And it was taking a video in infrared the entire time. Just the day that the raid happened. Not the first raid.
But the government plane?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Repeat what you said.
On April 18th, when they did the CS gas, put that in the building, they had a government plane flying over the building, filming in infrared.
Mm-hmm.
So towards the end of the tape, I think you can look it up. I was trying to see earlier. I think it's on YouTube. You can see the tanks going up around. And they didn't clarify this until, like, initially they said there was four pyrotechnic rounds or grenades or something like that found in the building. And they said they were the Davidians. And they said that the FBI never used them. And then 8 years later, they said that they were the FBI's, but they never detonated them or something like that.
What the fuck?
I was like, what? I was like, what the hell? But then on the... this is really fucked. So I think this happened... you can see the initial explosion when it, you know, you see a big flash of white on the screen. Yeah. And there's a tank pointing where it fucking exploded. And Thibodeau watched this. He said he watched it like 100 times. I want to see it myself. And then towards the end of the tape, I think this was after Thibodeau got out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But women and children must have got out of some of the one spot or something like that. And there was no camera coverage on the back of the building. And they were coming out of the back, and there were tanks and agents on the back there.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were coming out, it's hard to make out because the infrared doesn't really light them up because they're so small, signatures from that high. But it looks like they were shot down as they were trying to get out the back.
Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all, the way shit went down there.
At the end of this, it was more like, once they started doing really fucked up shit, I mean, it was fucked up from the beginning, but burning it down makes perfect sense from their point, because it's like, if they hit all the evidence from that building, they're screwed in court. They can't.
Oh, yeah.
They're screwed. The front door alone, fucking the rooftop, everything.
Thibodeau say anything about the ATF agents shooting the dogs?
He did. Oh, that was fucked. He said one of the first things he did when he had gone upstairs. He wasn't at the front door when that happened.
Yeah.
He just heard the shooting and, like, got down. He was like, I had been in Los Angeles for a long time. If you hear shooting, you just get on the ground.
Yeah. He was like, I'm not fucking around.
And he was in the basement when that happened. And he saw some guy. I think his name was Weaver. First off, and he got up, and that was the first time he saw a dead body that had a bullet wound in the back of his head. And he was like, I was just trying not to throw up. He was like, it was just so graphic. And then he went upstairs, and the guy who had trained the dogs, he said he had an Alaskan Malamute and five puppies. And I don't know how old the puppies were, but they shot all of them immediately. And he was just so fucked up about that. He was really worked up about
like
that.
Like they shot them unprompted?
Yeah, that's what everybody's... Everybody Thibodeau talked to that was at the door said the first thing that happened was they shot the dogs.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Do
you have a bottle opener?
Yeah, I put it somewhere. I put it down somewhere right here. Oh, there we go.
Drinking Sam Adams, kid.
Yeah, but that's... And, of course, the FBI will never say they shot first and...
No way.
And, Gary Nesner, he'll never admit it either.
No.
He wasn't there. He just kind of trusts the
report. Not that he would ever say anything. He got a full pension from the FBI.
Yeah, he's not going to... Maybe, like, when Nesner is going to die. Mm-hmm. Like, when he's on his deathbed.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be like, yeah. But at the same time, he wasn't there.
He wasn't there at that point.
How the fuck's he going to...
He wasn't there. The other thing about Nesner was that... in the show, it depicts him. It's him and one other negotiator.
Yeah.
And he was like, at this point, I was already a head negotiator. The FBI had two head negotiators to manage 350 negotiators throughout the entire country. Mm-hmm. He was like, usually when I got to a place, I would just manage the negotiations. I wouldn't actually negotiate myself. He's like, but the first night I got there, everybody there was tired of doing it.
Yeah.
And he talked to Koresh through the entire
night.
The whole night. He said it was a problem that Koresh always wanted to talk through the night for some reason. Probably because they were doing shit during the day, trying to get shit in order as much as they could. But he was like, because we kept talking through the night, Koresh kept sleeping all day, mm-hmm. or most of the day. And that was troublesome trying to get children to come out during the day because of that. But he said that there was a team of at least 10 to 15 guys negotiating with him.
Damn.
Yeah. He said, and even David said, he was like, there was multiple negotiators that Koresh was talking to. He was like, he liked Gary the best. Gary was like one of the only ones he actually got along with. Mm-hmm. This is where it's really fucked when he's talking about the infrared stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thibodeau was talking about the infrared stuff. And what he said before, that they were shooting them as they came out the back, yeah. is what it looks like on the infrared camera. So he said that they were at least the coroner's report. He has the coroner's report. He called the coroner and got the report from them and stuff like that. He said there are at least 15 bodies with bullet wounds to the head and chest, like square forward and square in the chest. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Thorne's like, that's not, that doesn't add up, and that wouldn't be a suicide. No one's going to shoot themselves in the chest to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Which is really fucked. They said that, this is fucked up. They didn't put this in the show. When they put the tank through that room, mm-hmm. that concrete walled off room,
yep.
some of the bricks came down and crushed kids.
That was the vault.
Crushed them in the vault. And, you know, mothers are probably going crazy and stuff like that, taking their mask off, trying to put it on the kid and everything. But he said when the coroner reported to the FBI that there was blunt force trauma wounds on the kids. And they didn't inference why. They just said, like, this is the type of...
Yeah, this is why they died.
They said at the end that the mothers beat their kids mercilessly to death in that room to kill them. I was like, what the fuck? And Thibodeau was like, are you serious? Like, that is what you... That's what you fucking confer from that. Are you kidding me?
I have to watch this documentary later. I'm not talking about the 12-part series.
It's short, too. It's quick. They're like 6 to 15-minute videos or something like that. So fucked. But, yeah, he was going around giving speeches for a long time, probably in his 30s or something like that. And I guess when he got a hold of this video, he started showing it to people, and he would zoom in on the exact part where you can kind of see them shooting the people coming out of the back of the building. He was like, look, they're killing me. And people would come up and talk to him afterwards and, like, ask him for autographs. I don't know if his book was out at that point yet. But one guy came up to him and he was like, hey, man, that was a fantastic talk. Like, thank you. But you're really angry. He was like, and David was like, fuck, I don't want to come off angry. He was like, I didn't know at that point because nobody fucking really knew what it was at that point. He was like, I had PTSD from this, and I was getting really animated and angry every time I was presenting this, and I didn't want to do that anymore, so he stopped giving presentations. And he, only when the show came out is when he started talking about stuff again.
I wonder if anyone's gone down to talk to them since the current Branch Davidians.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
there's interviews and stuff with them.
Like, about Koresh and about...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, there's 30-something survivors or whatever. It's like 37. But, yeah.
I really wanted to go into the compound when I was down there.
Did you?
Yeah.
It would have been cool.
But...
This was fucked, too. Okay, so... Koresh let anybody into the compound. He'd let anybody... He'd give a tour of anything in there. There was, like, nothing he wouldn't show anybody. So, before the ATF went there, they went to meet up with the guy that was going to the gun shows with Koresh.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking him about all the stuff that he had sold to Koresh or stuff that him and Koresh had bought together at gun shows mm-hmm. and stuff. And what illegal things they have.
Hold on. I might be missing. What was the reason that they went after them?
In the show, it says that the ATF's budget was going to get cut really bad. Possibly to a point where they would...
They would disband the ATF.
Yes. Which, if these people survived, they would have definitely disbanded the ATF immediately. It would have been gone after a court case. Done. They were in there talking about, talking to the gun dealer in his shop about all the guns that...
Well, hold on. You're moving past it. So, that is the reason that you're aware of?
It's that that's the ATF, from the show.
But I'm just curious because you've dived deeper into this than I have.
Yeah, from the show, that's what I concurred. I didn't see that in a lot of the interviews and stuff like that. Like, Gary Noisner didn't really go into it. He was like, "I wasn't there. I don't know why they were first there." Like, he says like what he was told, which that's is pretty similar from what the show was.
That's some shady fucking shit.
Yeah, he was like,
"I was just there." It was to justify their budget.
Pretty much.
It was
worked.
Yeah, they saw... It worked.
They're still here.
So they saw a group of people heavily armed and thought, oh, we can use this as like a thing to go after them and justify our budget that we're breaking up all these.
There were people before them that were investigating Koresh. A few people that didn't like... I don't know when he instituted the thing where...
Everyone's wives are his.
Yes.
Which is fucking bizarre.
That was like the big thing I didn't like, because he was controlling and it was like... Who knows if he was fucking enjoying the sex with these people. And I'm sure he was, but like... He married multiple people underage. His own wife, his wife's sister, and he had, you know, a bunch of other wives in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then Dave Thibodeau talked about it too. He said there was
Thibodeau's name is Dave.
David. I was listening to people call him Dave a couple times. That, and I'm getting confused because there's multiple Daves in the show and everything. But yeah, David Thibodeau was saying He was like, I never got a really good, like, a really good sense of the actual reason they came in there. He was like, I've heard, like, 10 different things. There were people that were just, like, individual groups, like, women's rights groups and stuff like that were investigating before and put, like, things out in the paper about how he abuses his wives and children. And there was one guy when he started that thing and married somebody's, married a guy's wife and said he couldn't have sex with her anymore. he fought him and they shot at each other with guns.
Oh, Jesus, Crash and they shot, both got shot?
Yeah. I don't know if Koresh got shot at that point, but they were both got convicted, and Koresh got out of it, and he was arrested, but he got out of it. I don't know if he served any time or not. And the other guy went to jail. That was his only prior, like, arrest. He had no other...
criminal history.
No other criminal history other than that. And then there was the kids thing. They had people come out and investigate from, what's it called?
Child Protective Services.
Yes, Child Protective Services. And they investigated the whole place, and they had a big investigation, and they determined that there was no abuse going on there, which I kind of believe from everybody's accounts and stuff like that. Like,
do you know what Nesner said about it?
What?
Because about the, if the kids were being abused, because you remember the scene?
Oh, I do know what he said about it.
Because do you remember the scene in the show, mm-hmm, where Nesner comments,
yeah,
about the kids, mm-hmm, after they've got a bunch of the kids out, and he's like, these kids are happy, normal kids.
Yeah.
He's like, kids that are abused don't act like this.
Yeah. He said that in a real interview, too.
Oh, okay. So
he said that exact same thing. He was like, when I saw these kids, they were healthy kids in good condition, and they were in good mental health, and they were normal for children, their age.
Yeah, they weren't abused.
No. He was, and I guess there's stuff from Koresh. He was like, I mean, I've spanked my kids before if I needed to discipline them. They were strict, obviously, because of their religion.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, they didn't beat their kids. Yeah. They were well-disciplined. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's fucked. There was one of his wives that left and got custody of her kid, and she claims that David spanked him until he bled, and David claimed that she spanked him until he bled, so... Who knows with that? But yeah, I forget what I was saying before all that.
You were talking about Thibodeau saying.
Oh, I remember. Sorry, we're bouncing all over the place with this. If you have no background of this, it's going to be hard to follow, but.
Watch the show.
It'll help.
Like, you'll watch the show, and then you'll want to come back and listen to this again.
Yeah.
Or watch the live stuff.
Yeah.
Watch the real news footage and Thibodeau interviews. And
it's really good. It's awesome. It
fucking
makes
sad.
You angry and sad, and it's like, what is going on with our government? It's like, what the hell? But yeah, the ATF agents went to the gun dealer that was good friends with David Koresh. And they were asking him about his arsenal, which they referred to it as like an arsenal, and the gun dealer was like, no, it's a collection. He was like, mm-hmm, they're not planning on doing something. And they asked him to call Koresh. So they called Koresh while the ATF was there, and they were telling him questions to ask Koresh and stuff like that. And the guy was like, they're here right now. Do you want to talk to them? And,
I got the ATF standing next to me.
The ATF's like, they're like, shut the fuck up. And, but.
Was Koresh like, yeah, let me talk to him?
Yeah, Koresh was like, yeah, I'll talk to them. Yeah. Koresh was like, they can come here anytime and I'll give them a tour of the facility and show them my guns. He didn't care. He was, they just shut that down, and then they showed up there a week later.
Strapped to the gills, right?
Strapped to the gills, ready to go out there. And if you watch the show, and you're watching the footage of them go up on the roof and storm the place, the footage of them going up on the roof.
Oh, that's real.
Is it the real stuff?
That's news footage. With a SWAT team. Or yes. The ATF guys get shot out through the window and like fall off the roof.
Exactly what happened.
That's actual news footage. But in the show.
Yeah, in the
news
show.
News footage. They change it, and you don't even realize because they do it seamlessly.
Yeah.
That's the actual footage.
It's the actual footage, yeah. They have the footage of them taking the guy away on the hood of the car and everything like that.
I'm not sure, you know the part in the show where Koresh records that video with his one of his wives and Cyrus's son? Mm-hmm. I think that was real footage.
It's not real footage.
No.
But if you put it next to the real footage, it's exactly the same. It's like the same. I'll show you the real footage after this or when we take a break. It's on point exactly the same. Cyrus looks a lot different. Koresh looks a little bit different, but pretty much exactly the same. Cyrus had really long hair.
Okay.
Like down to his butt. Like,
damn.
Yeah. But yeah, that part was effed up.
Are any of David Koresh's kids still alive?
No. None of them.
Jesus Christ.
None of them.
Wait. What about the kids that got out?
The kids that got out weren't his kids.
He didn't let
any of his kids out.
What the fuck was that? He didn't let any of his children out.
No. Any of his kids or any of the women that he had kids with. I think except for that one that they show in the show that left.
Yeah.
And that did happen exactly as
like shit was hitting the fan.
And Gary said that happened exactly like that. They're like, they took the kids out, they showed them in there, and they showed that kid alone on purpose to get that woman to come out. I'm sure she's thankful now. I'm sure she's thankful for her life, and she's with her kid and stuff like that, but terrible. Her husband was the one that was shot right away outside that was trying to get in there.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah. That was fucked up.
They lit that guy up. It was fucked.
Jesus Christ!
I'm not sure exactly how that happened. I got it confused. I think that he might have actually been coming from the road. I don't remember. But it was either him or another guy that was working on the water tower, and he got shot on the water tower.
By the ATF?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. That was his task for the day, and he got shot up there.
My favorite part was that her husband shot back.
Yeah.
At the ATF. I was like, my man.
Yeah. Can't just let him shoot you.
That was brutal.
Freaking. Yeah. And so that coroner's report part got me that they actually they shot people. They had to have, you know, fucking just the bullet wounds in the chest and stuff like that. They said the FBI was saying there might have been turmoil inside when that was happening. And I don't know if they said that Koresh killed himself or if he had Steve do it. Nobody really knows, obviously. But he did have a bullet wound to the head. Square in the forehead, so he could have had someone shoot him, or he could have been shot by an agent, or he could have just shot himself awkwardly or something like that. He was probably shot by somebody.
Probably.
Square in the forehead.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess you could. I don't know why you do that. I don't know what they said about Steve's body. I haven't heard anything about that. Steve is the second in command, Steve Schneider.
Who, at least in the show, seemed like a really nice guy.
He seemed like a really nice guy. I was sad.
Then again, they all seemed like nice people.
They all seemed like very nice people. That's what everybody said that talked to them. Like, the actual sheriff, I saw an interview with him.
I mean, even Koresh, who was definitely a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, without a doubt.
A harmless person.
Debatable. Because argue it's like he's... I mean, having sex with minors.
Yeah, that's another... But he wasn't going to murder anybody.
Right.
You know, I meant it in that sense.
Yeah. But I mean... So what I want to ask you is, so you registered as a libertarian live on our podcast.
Yes.
So what... What do you think about the government after watching Waco? Because before I was like, you need to watch Waco. Did you know anything about it?
I knew nothing. I absolutely nothing. I was shocked that I had never heard anything about it. And then again, I was not shocked at the same time. I was just kind of mad that I never knew about it. Because why would government or school or anything like that want this taught to anybody?
That's something that scares the shit out of me. This isn't taught in schools.
No. You gotta own your fucking mistakes. Like, yeah. I mean, there were no repercussions from this, for the ATF or the FBI.
Public perception. I think a lot of people.
It did do a lot on public perception.
Were not like supportive of the FBI or the ATF in this. I think a lot of people thought this was insane.
But because of that, I mean, if the ATF's goal was actually to like keep their organization alive and like spend their budget,
100%.
They're still here today. They're one of the biggest government organizations. Yeah,
they're one of the biggest organizations.
And they're called they're BAFT now, I think, is what it is.
Are they?
Yeah, I forget what the B stands for. Or maybe it's just Bordeaux or something like that.
The Bureau of Alcohol Development.
Yeah. Or it's, I don't know.
Bombs?
No, because explosives is actually at the end of it, too, but they just don't put the E in there. Because they became explosives after 9/11 happened, too.
Oh, expanding government power during a crisis.
Yeah.
All right, Chancellor Palpatine. Fucking Jesus Christ.
Yep. Yep. But the Gary Noisner,
Nesner.
I don't know why his name is spelled with a.
It's Noesner.
But it sounds like an E after the N when you say
Nesner.
Nesner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, Gary Nesner. His interview that I saw. He gave a speech. I think he was giving it to a religious group or study group or something like that. And the one that I watched, anyhow. And he was saying there's a lot of stuff during that he was embarrassed about, but he firmly believes most of the hard stuff that the FBI goes by. I don't think he goes along with a lot of the stuff that they were saying that was like just trying to agitate the people inside and stuff like that. What he did say, though, that was
he's using psychological warfare against Americans.
He was not happy about
American
that.
Citizens.
He said,
"Did he say that happened though?"
That did happen. He said, "So this is fucked."
The FBI denied that, though, right?
I don't know if they denied it.
In the show, they did.
Oh, in the show, they did.
Yeah.
So they what the stuff they were playing was. It was Nancy Sinatra is what they were saying. And they were playing it at like a weird frequency. And then they were playing
dolphin noises, gunshots.
It was dolphin noises. In the show they said dolphin noises. What they were really playing was, I guess when you kill rabbits, they scream. And they were playing that, which is, that's just kind of freaky.
Yeah.
they were playing that. They were playing like death metal music and stuff like that. They really did put on the concert. And
that's fucking hilarious.
I don't know if it was at night, though. I don't know exactly what time they did it. And in the show, they kind of make it seem like a fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a fuck you.
According to Thibodeau and Nesner? Or?
According to Thibodeau. Thibodeau said that they did that.
Was it just to like have a little sense of normalcy?
Yeah, have a little sense of normalcy. And he was like, Koresh honestly wanted to do it for them to have some normal stuff going on, and also like the cops out there, they've been sitting here for 52 days. He wanted to give them a show. He literally wanted to do that. That's what Koresh said, according to David Thibodeau. And it was like, okay, yeah. And they took it as we're gonna kill you all because you're saying fuck you to us. At least the head guy definitely took it that way. I believe that from the show. I didn't hear anything.
The head of the tactical team?
The head of the entire thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if this was exactly clear to most people when they were watching the show, but when Nesner explained it, he said at this negotiation and negotiations before that he had done, which are hostage negotiations, he said he was technically called like a hostage negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, but this is not a hostage situation because people were there from their free will.
Yeah, they were willingly there.
Which made it a lot harder. Yeah. And the other parts of the group didn't understand that. They were just getting angry.
Did Thibodeau say anything about that? About people being there willingly? Like, did he comment at all about, like, Koresh wasn't threatening people or like anything like that? Do you know?
Yeah.
Did he say anything about like, no, people genuinely didn't want to leave?
So I don't... Yeah, he did talk about that. I don't remember exactly what he said, but from what I got from what Thibodeau was saying is that Steve didn't seem... He was more of a voice of reason, but he didn't seem to have the distaste that the show gave him for Koresh. Yeah. He said he was... I think he was a lot more loyal to Koresh than was actually depicted.
I mean, even in the show, though, he was still loyal.
He was loyal, but
he was just angry at him.
Yeah. I don't know if he had that. I'm sure there was anger going on with Koresh at that point. There had to be, especially with, like,
they're under in the fucking group. Siege.
But Thibodeau was like, I didn't know a lot of the big decisions that were going on at that point. He was like, I was around everything, but, like, I wasn't the one making decisions.
Yeah, he was just there. Mm-hmm. He was just one of the guys.
Mm-hmm. He was like, I was very good friends with Koresh. He was like, I was the drummer in his band. I knew him for a long time.
Yeah.
In the chain of command there, he was saying what it was supposed to be like was, he explained it in military terms. So, like, basically, his rank would be like a major or something like that.
Who?
Gary Neusner.
Oh,
okay. Neusner.
Neusner.
I keep fucking that up, huh? Gary Neusner said his equivalent was like a major, pretty much. The tactical teams guy was supposed to be about the same as him, but he actually came off a little higher. And the reason is because they have a bigger budget. So they want to use that budget with the tactical team.
That's how the government works.
They brought in tanks. They have 75 armored troops, pretty much. Like military armored troops. They have bulletproof vests and fucking helmets.
You want to talk about the beginning of the militarization of the police?
Yeah, and AR-15s and everything. And then the guy above them was the guy that's overseeing everything.
They have AR-15s, or do they have, like, actual military rifles?
I think they had AR-15s, I'm pretty sure. I'm just saying that the ATF did, anyway. I don't know if the FBI did. The FBI might have
M16s or something. Yeah.
But the ATF did, because Rodriguez had an AR-15.
He did. Okay.
Because
I just want to point out, like, an AR is, like, the civilian version.
Yeah.
Of, like, military stuff.
Mm-hmm. So. But, so he was like, so the reason they had a big problem, the reason he had no say is he was third in command.
He was under the head of the whole operation and the head of the tactical team.
Yeah, and like the tactical guy wasn't really the one giving him direct orders, but the tactical guy had more pull because there was more money under his budget.
Right.
And he was like, in the negotiation team, all we need are, what do we need, ball caps? Like...
Yeah, it's just human beings.
You know?
People.
Like, yeah.
Salaries.
He's like, we're not spending any money. We have all the equipment already for the negotiating team.
Yeah.
They're bringing in tanks and helicopters and heavy artillery and stuff.
Just the fuel.
Yeah.
Fuel cost.
Right? He was like, that's why the tactical team had more pull. And he was like, in future situations, he was like, after that happened... the coordinator that was at Waco and the head of the tactical team were both asked to retire, and he basically got a promotion. So they got demoted essentially, and he got promoted. They didn't get a slap on the wrist or anything really. Like, they still got their pension and everything like that, I'm sure.
Fucking scum.
But Gary said that every negotiation he went to after that, he was in charge of everything. He was like, the negotiation team was pretty much at the head of everything I went to after that. And he's like, I was very successful at pretty much everything else after that. He said, so what they were doing with the negotiation team and a lot of the other people that were there, they were rotating them out. They would rotate them out every 3 months, so they probably had one rotation, and mm-hmm. then they rotated new people in. Gary was there for 4 months, though, and he had no intentions of leaving, and he wanted to come back, too. He was going to come back, like, the the day before that happened. And
Wait, hold on. What are you talking about?
When they asked him to leave, it wasn't... I don't know if it was a week or 2 weeks before.
I mean, but the siege only went on for what? It was like 50 days.
51 days. So they asked him... When they asked him to leave, it seems like it was like... I don't know how long they made it seem like in the show. I forget the day count. But
I don't remember.
But he left, and it must have been like at least a week before, because he went to the Middle East for something.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mention what, and he probably can't mention what.
Yeah, that's probably all
classified. He came back, and he did another negotiation somewhere, and it took one day, and they got the hostages out, and it was cool. And then he went back to, I don't know, D.C. probably, or Philadelphia, I don't know. And they called him into a room to go somewhere, and he was like, "Am I going back to Waco?" He wanted to go back to Waco, and that was like the day before everything happened. And they were like, "No," and then they told him he was doing something else, and I forget what he said, but when they called him in when the fire started happening, and like this, they started putting the CS gas in that day. He said they were watching it on like a NASA type screen,
mm-hmm.
in a, like a big room. And, he saw what they started doing. He was like, "I walked out immediately. I couldn't take it." He was like, "I was so frustrated with the way we acted there. And that was just a mistake." He talked about like the trickle gush flow. Yeah. Trickle flow gush.
Right. That makes more sense.
And he was like, "That was our goal, and it was working." And he was like, "If they didn't do that, I'm pretty confident it would have worked." He was like, "I'm pretty confident of also if Koresh had died from his bullet wound, we would have got them all out." Which is a little fucked up to say, but he's probably right.
Probably,
you know? I mean,
when you lose the cult of personality, mm-hmm. that the leader has. But you never know, though. You know what I mean? You don't know.
He just said...
Steve Schneider could have stepped up and been, like, just filled right in. You know what
I
mean?
Don't think they would have came out right away, but I think just because they had more reasonable negotiations with Steve Schneider, that they thought that was... He was pretty confident that they could have got him out. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Want to take a quick break?
Take a quick break, yeah.
All right, so during our break, we watched a lot of footage of Waco, like real footage, and some interviews with Dave Thibodeau and Gary Nesner from last year.
Yep.
Talking about it, and I'm kind of blown away.
It's pretty incredible. Very, very interesting stuff, and it's... sad, and it makes you freaking pretty mad at your government for why the hell would they do that to their own citizens, you know? It's just, it sucks. I can't wrap my head around it. It really is.
It's fucked up, man.
But yeah. So I realized some stuff as we were looking at that. So we just looked up that, is it Charles Pace? Is his name? He's the leader of the branch. Who he was part of it and left a few years before the Waco siege happened. And he left because he didn't like Koresh's take on polygamy, pretty much.
And, although he did think that Koresh was a prophet.
Yes. Yes. And then... Clive Doyle, who we mentioned before, leads another part of the Branch Davidians that still follows all Koresh's teachings and believes he's a prophet still and everything. They're less successful, probably because they don't have the main property.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Speaking of tyrannical governments... I'm going to move away from Waco, if you're good with that.
I'm good. We've done a lot on Waco.
Yeah.
You guys should look into it, and
So, some crazy shit going on right now. with the government fucking with people during this lockdown around the country.
Yep.
In Texas, back to Texas, did you hear about that salon owner who opened up her salon?
Just from you earlier. Yeah.
And so she got sentenced to 7 days in prison and a $7,000 fine. And the lieutenant governor stepped in and said that he's paying her fine out of his own pocket.
Well, that's good.
And then the governor, Greg Abbott of Texas, stepped in and pardoned her and then passed an executive order saying that no U.S. citizens will be in prison for violating lockdown, like, rules.
Damn.
Because he was talking about it, and he was like, this is insane. He was like, we're not doing that. Meanwhile, up in Maine, the owner of the Sunday River Brew House, which is one of my favorite restaurants. Like, every time I go up to Sunday River.
We talked about this
before. Yeah, place is unreal. He opened up his restaurant. They arrested him. They took away his liquor license.
Yep. And I heard him on the radio. He said he was, I think he was expecting that to happen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like, I'm taking him to court. He was like, our justice system will work this out. He was like, I'll be all fine. I'll be okay.
I'm hoping the governor of Maine will step in and help him.
I hope so. The governor
will. If the courts don't.
Yeah.
Fuck that judge in Texas. Like, are you serious? Fuck him.
Piece of shit, man. God damn it. The Wachusett Brewery in Massachusetts is opening up.
Is that true? I looked it up. I didn't see anything about it. Like, going on their website?
That's what I heard on the radio. I don't know anything about it. Maybe it was shut down before it happened or something. I have no idea. But that's what I heard. They were supposed to open up later this week, so...
If they do, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah. It'd be really cool. We'd see someone get arrested, probably.
Oh, I'd help protect them.
You can...
Oh, my God. Talking about this earlier with the female. I just don't like saying
anything. I know.
About me and you going to the Wachusett Brewery.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, imagine me and you hammered at the brewery. Because you know we're getting bombed. God. If we go out to drink for the first time, we're getting bombed. I was like, imagine us just trashed at this brewery and the police show up and try to shut it down.
Oh no. We get arrested.
Oh, 100%! I get arrested in a heartbeat. I pull out my little pocket constitution. I'd be like, bitch, where does it say that? Like, again, I just get hit in the head with a billy club. Like, and then you hulk out and start pulling
swinging cops' arms off. Swinging a chair at people or something. You get swinging a bar stool around.
You get shot to death. Oh, God.
Either that or they'd beanbag me or something.
Oh, Jesus. Shooting the mouth of rubber bullets. Oh! But, in all seriousness, if they open, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah.
100%.
That'd be awesome.
Dude, how nice would it be to be more hang out at a brewery?
I'm really fearful. I'm hopeful, too, that things start to open up soon. The governor said his plan is to start opening things up soon. If numbers continue to get better.
You saw that piece of shit Governor Whitmer in Michigan extended the lockdown again.
Yeah.
Is she trying to be violently
about Michigan yet?
I don't know.
What happened in Michigan is fucked. It is unbelievably unconstitutional.
It's It's literally insane. And we're not talking about the armed protesters storming the Capitol. I support that.
Yeah.
100%. Like,
they're standing up for their, you know, their well-being and their livelihood.
Doing what Americans are supposed to do. Whitmer's a piece of shit. She is evil. She's a tyrant.
Congress voted.
the state Congress voted to end the lockdown. Or not end it, but to not extend the lockdown. And then she extended it twice!
With executive orders.
It's like, oh, that sounds like a tyrant or a dictator to me.
Yep.
not listening to the people or to the representative body of the people. What the fuck?
What the hell, man? What's going on?
She is a piece of shit. I'm so happy that Greg Abbott stepped up in Texas to help that lady
out. Yeah, that was awesome.
He signed that executive order saying, no, we're not putting people in prison for this.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the situations around the country,
I don't think Massachusetts is going to end it on the 18th.
I don't think so either. I think
he's going to extend it.
I mean, we're like the third worst state or something like that.
Yep. New York, New Jersey, us.
I mean, California's going to start opening stuff up before us. They're not even that bad anymore. They're having like good success. They're just a big population, right?
Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Did you hear what the government in San Francisco is doing?
No.
You're about to get really mad.
Shit, why?
You're going to get really mad. So,
come on, America. What the fuck?
So, you know how there's like a homeless crisis in San Francisco? Yes.
Yeah.
And you know how a lot of them are drug addicted?
Mm-hmm. I'm already boiling. I don't know where this is going to go.
The San Francisco government, the mayor and the town government, the city government, are giving the homeless nicotine, alcohol, and drugs. That's not a joke.
It's definitely a joke.
No, look it up right now.
Oh my.
Take your phone out, look it up.
I
just type in San Francisco giving drugs to homeless. That'll probably bring it up.
Fuck.
No, I'm not. Like, I read about this earlier and I was like, what? I was like,
why would you do that? That's so stupid.
Yeah, just do like San Francisco gives drugs or something.
Gives drugs. Gives drugs.
Let's see. Oh God, what are they?
Okay, so the first thing that popped up: San Francisco gives alcohol and marijuana to homeless in lockdown in hotels. Did they put them in hotels too?
I think some of them.
I'm so happy I don't live in California.
Dude, California is such a shithole.
Why?
Fuck California. I want more earthquakes to happen so the San Andreas Fault breaks and they just drift into the ocean.
Oh, jeez. What the hell,
Did you think
man?
I was lying to you? You thought I was fucking with you?
I was just in shock. Like, that is insane. That is crazy.
For real.
Oh, man. San Francisco especially, but it's going to be a dump in like 20 years.
It already is a dump. It's
gonna
literally be shit in the streets.
It's going to be a dump. There's not going to be, like, very, like, rich people living in Los Angeles anymore.
They'll just move out.
They're going to move somewhere else.
And they'll go ruin another state.
They'll go ruin another state, exactly.
Ugh.
Good grief. Gives drugs, alcohol, to homeless, quarantining in hotels. Why are they? I guess no one's in the hotels anyway, so who gives a fuck about that? But
I mean, I care about it for the hotel's sakes.
For the hotel's sakes, yeah.
Can you imagine being told, yeah, you're going to house the homeless? I'd be like, what?
Methadone, too. Methadone.
Oh, good.
To some addicts and homeless isolating. This is ridiculous. This is out of control.
So let's get this straight. All right. So governments around the United States are arresting citizens for trying to operate businesses. They're releasing pedophiles and murderers and shit.
Yes.
And then they're giving drugs to junky homeless people.
What? What happened to America, man?
Oh, my God. What the fuck? Oh. I've been reading a bunch of articles saying that Justin Amash could really fuck this up Like, I've read multiple articles that say stuff that, like, Justin Amash is fucking the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
But then because, like, he's going to pull votes from them. Mm-hmm. But I also see articles saying the exact opposite.
Yeah, like, everything is.
And I'm like, oh, I wonder why. Because he's in the middle and he can pull people from both sides, you idiots. Like, God damn it. He's not even the Libertarian nominee yet.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right. I hope he is. He's just running.
He's running for the Libertarian nominee. I hope he gets it.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, too.
If he's the Libertarian nominee, I'll be voting for him.
I don't know why he wouldn't get it. He's the biggest name in there.
Yeah.
There's that one other, is it a former senator or something like that in there? Oh. From like, I think he's from Wyoming. But he doesn't have as much following as this guy would.
No, Justin Amash is actually, like a pretty well-known figure in like Libertarian following.
Mm-hmm.
I hope he does well. Imagine if he got the 5%.
Oh my goodness, that'd be awesome.
I'd be like, holy Christ. I'd be like, he did it. That crazy son of a bitch did it.
That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. That'd be some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. What else happened recently?
You can have a salmon.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. Two people, it was in Michigan too, right? They shot that security guard.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the story. Like, I know, like, yeah,
what I heard,
a Family Dollar or something, right?
Yeah, it was like a dollar store or something like that. There was a security guard at, I don't know if it was specifically for the dollar store or if there was like a strip mall or something like that that mm-hmm. he was at. And, he was like, hey, like the dollar store asked that you wear a mask in the store. And, the woman got all pissed. And, I think it was her son came down and, they ended up getting in an argument and, they shot the guy.
What the hell?
Killed him.
Jesus Christ, man. Like,
what the fuck?
Can we just go back to normal, please? Can we open everything up and like, people are losing their minds. That guy didn't
need to die? What the hell?
No, like, not at all.
Like,
you know, there's armed security at Stop and Shop.
Is there?
Yeah. Police officers and private security.
I guess it makes a little bit of sense because there's just, it's the only place people are going right now.
That's true.
You know? I don't like it. But
not a big fan of it either.
But that's the thing though, when you think about all this, it's like, all right, if you can go to those stores and wear a mask, which I guess isn't even good for you anymore at this point, which is like the fourth time they've changed their minds on the mask.
I'm not going to lie. If you're listening to the government for what you should be doing about this, you're a fool. They've been wrong about everything.
Everything.
Everything. They were wrong in their projections about how many people were going to die. They were wrong.
They took the projection from a British guy, too.
Fuck them. We beat them 300 years ago.
I guess they take a lot of... I guess he's just like a top scientist for different disease projections or something like that.
Fuck Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci. That short little fuck. I actually like Dr. Fauci, but
he's all right.
But they've been wrong about everything.
They've been wrong. But yeah, this is the guy that projected 2.2 million deaths in America.
Yeah, what are we at so far? Like 70,000?
Yeah, and it dropped. What did it drop off to after
like 100,000?
After we started doing social distancing or something like that.
Originally, it dropped to like 500,000. Now, right now, I think they're projecting like 100 to 150,000 people. I was like, that's not that many people. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it is, but like, in a country of 350 million people, 150,000 people is not a lot.
Yeah.
Like, at all. It's less than 1%.
And the way things are going, obviously, this is a bad pandemic and stuff, but like,
did not warrant this reaction.
No, it didn't.
From the government or from society. This is fucking absurd.
It did warrant some stuff, but this is too much. It's gone too far. Like,
I think the mask wearing, whether it works or not, I think that's going to be around for a while.
It's going to be around for a while. Like, but yeah, they recently said that only the N95 masks work, or a surgical mask or something like that. Like the... they're saying the cloth masks are not effective anymore. So it's like, make your freaking minds up. What do you want us to do?
But that's just it, though. That's why you shouldn't even listen to them.
Most people are still wearing masks.
Yeah. If you feel better wearing a mask, then wear a mask. This is America, baby. You can do whatever you want. If you don't want to wear a mask, then this is another thing. Did you see I posted this
uh-huh.
on our social media
uh-huh.
about how it's illegal for them to make you wear a mask?
Yeah.
If you don't want to wear a mask, you do not have to wear a mask. It's against the Americans with Disabilities Act. They cannot make you wear a mask.
Yeah.
On top of that, say you aren't wearing a mask, and you know they're like, why? It's also HIPAA regulations. Like, they, you don't have to disclose a medical condition to anybody. Like, it is illegal for them to force you to wear a mask. If you want to wear...
a store do it?
Huh?
A store could technically do it, or no?
No. A private business can say, we won't serve you unless you're wearing a mask. I think, or... I mean, I think they should. I think they can, but I also think they should. It's a private business. You should be able to do whatever you want. But the government... Like, right now... Legally in Massachusetts right now, if you are outside, you're supposed to have a mask on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to get a $300 fine.
That's ridiculous.
Now, how many police departments are actually issuing those fines? I don't know. I'm assuming not very many. But you know that some shithead is going to give someone a ticket.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope this doesn't go on for too much longer, because freaking, with the way things are already going, if it keeps going on, it's going to be fucking weird, because the feds are going to come down on these states that have their own regulations, and it's going to be fucked up.
The thing is, the feds, I mean, what can they do? The feds can't really do much.
Only if it's unconstitutional.
Right.
Like they already said to Massachusetts that you have to open up your gun stores.
It's essential. Yeah. But like, so, I don't know. I guess a lot of the stuff is unconstitutional. So if the federal government really did want to, like, play the legal game, they could, you know, they could beat any state that is doing unconstitutional stuff, like, over the head with a stick.
Right.
Like the masks thing, the social distancing stuff, like, anything. It's like, none of this is actually, like, legal.
Yeah.
Like, you can't force people to do this stuff. Like... And then none of this was approved by the Massachusetts State Senate.
Right.
That's something else I'd like to point out.
Right. These are just recommendations.
This is recommendations or executive order.
Yeah.
From Charlie Baker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this was not passed by the People's Assembly.
Yeah.
Which is what Congress is. It's the elected representatives of literally every single town.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what the House of Representatives is and the Senate. The state senate. The state congress we're talking about. Yep. So it's like, they didn't pass laws.
No.
Charlie Baker just uses executive order. Talk about the fact that Charlie Baker is the most liberal Republican ever.
Probably ever, yeah.
Yeah.
Forget these Republicans.
Dude, he's more liberal than some Democrats.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I think it's funny when people are like, it's amazing that Massachusetts has a Republican governor. I'm like, he's not a Republican.
No.
Like, he might be registered as one.
No.
They're like, dude, he's wicked. I wouldn't say he's wicked leftist, but like, but he's a Democrat.
Yeah,
like, he's a left-wing guy. Like, there's a reason that Massachusetts Republicans is like a thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know.
Ugh. I was listening to something today on there, like, if you take New Jersey, New York, and Massachusetts out of the equation...
The country's fine.
There's nothing wrong. There's nothing going on right now.
It's been incredibly minor for the rest of the country.
That's why if I was in another state, I'd be like, what the fuck are we doing?
Be like, I mean, some places do have it a little rough, like... but a lot of it, though, is, like, big cities.
It's big cities.
Which makes sense, because you have hundreds of thousands of people packed together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Michigan... I think, like, in the cities, there's a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, outside of the cities, though, I don't think there's, like, very much of it at all.
Right.
That's why people are losing their goddamn minds.
Yeah.
In Michigan. Same with, in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. New Orleans is messed up.
Devastated.
Doesn't get talked about at all in the media. Literally at all. Have you heard New Orleans get mentioned once?
At the very beginning of all this.
They have a lot of death and a lot of infections.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's slowed down a lot with them. So I don't understand why they're not getting more credit. Like, why is it that everyone likes talking about how Andrew Cuomo is, like, doing a good job?
I don't know. He's doing a lot of effed up shit.
He's doing a fucking awful job. They have... how many people have died in New York? 40,000?
The most of anywhere in the world, right? In a, like, that small of an area.
Yeah.
So I mean, at least in the United States, we'll say that we don't know about other
places. I mean, his state is larger than most countries.
Yeah.
How many people live in New York?
I think
New York has a huge. You have your phone.
I think it's like 8.5 million people in New York City.
Jesus Christ! No.
No, I swear, I think that's accurate.
That's disgusting. Yeah, just do New York State population. Let's see. Let's see what's inside.
Damn it. 5 million people.
So they have 19.5. They have 19,500,000 people.
Yeah.
They're literally larger than most countries around the world.
See.
Are you looking up their stats for the coronavirus?
No, look how many people live in the city. Yeah, 8.3 million people.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, so almost 8.5. It's almost 8.4 million people.
Yeah. But he's done an awful job.
Mm-hmm.
Cuomo?
Yeah.
Like, he sent coronavirus-infected people into nursing homes.
Yeah, it's fucked. I bet the nursing homes are getting freaking money for that.
I'm sure. How are these families not suing the bejesus out of Cuomo?
Oh, I bet.
I would. If your grandmother died in one of these nursing homes,
I bet there's going to be thousands of lawsuits. Freaking. What the hell? Hooligans.
Hooligans. Sounds like a lot of hoopla. Is that the second SpongeBob reference that I've gotten in the last five minutes?
Yeah.
Good
grief.
Jesus, man.
That guy's, if you guys couldn't hear that.
Yeah, if you guys couldn't hear that, that some guy just drove by. What the hell is going on?
Nope.
It just got so loud.
No.
I'm going to laugh my ass off if they can't hear this on the recording. They can't hear the noise.
Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about.
Me and you were just reacting to loud things.
We're just angry to something. Something they can't hear at all. What were we talking about?
Cuomo's a piece of shit with his creepy nipple rings.
His nipple rings?
Type in Andrew.
I don't care. I'm judging people. Guys shouldn't have nipple rings.
Type in Andrew.
Do what you want. I don't care.
Type in. I wish Carl was here to type things in.
So cool.
Andrew Cuomo nipple rings. You'll see it. We'll post a picture of it on the page, too.
Oh, damn it.
Come up yet? It was during a coronavirus press conference that people realized it. Are you in images?
Let me go to images. I'm not in images.
Go back. Zoom in on his nipples.
What the hell? Damn it.
God damn it, you guinea bastard.
What's wrong with you?
Both of them. Both of them. Stop.
That's just not okay.
I mean, hey, man, listen, this is America. You can do what he wants.
Yeah, like, you can do what you want.
Let your freak flag fly, you know?
It's freaky, though.
It is kind of weird. I don't know why. I don't get it, but hey, man.
It's a little freaky.
Ever since that press conference, he hasn't not taken his suit jacket off since that press conference.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
It's so funny. I love it. But,
Andrew Cuomo's ex, Sandra Lee, speaks of...
Oh, Jesus.
Nipple ring talk.
What?
Let's see what she said. Should we do that? The blast.
Yeah.
She's a Food Network star.
All right. Read it. The people aren't listening to anything right now.
Hold on.
Jesus.
I don't want to read out loud right now. I don't feel like I can...
What?
I can do that at the moment.
What does it say?
Oh, she just says body shaming is not okay. She didn't deny it.
Which means, well, I mean, you can just see from the picture. Either that or he has three nipples.
Yeah.
On each
side. A
lot
of stories being written and a lot of nonsense being said. And I just want to say body shaming is not okay. It's never going to be okay.
Oh, fuck off.
Sorry, lady, but nipple rings are not part of your body. So
yeah, right. What the hell?
I mean, you can do. You want to get a nipple ring? Go ahead. I will probably judge you, but you can do it if you want.
Yeah.
But
Jesus.
But hey, I'm allowed to judge you. It's America. Get the hell out of here.
Goddamn right. Well, I think that's a good place to end.
And I think that's pretty good too.
So yeah. Andrew,
enjoy your nipple rings.
Enjoy your nipple rings, and until next time.
See you.